Hey, welcome in Turning Point Podcast, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition here. I am Brett Smith, principal of Island City Elementary, here hosted with Scott Carpenter, assistant superintendent. Hey, good morning. And we're joined by none other than the Chris Wagner, middle school principal extraordinaire. Morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to be here.
Awesome. Hey, well, we're here just doing it. We're like 4 weeks in. Scott, how you feeling?
I'm feeling chipper.
Chipper. On a Friday.
Morning. We get to have all sorts of fun meetings today. So good. It'll be a quick Friday.
It's gonna happen
end of the weekend.
Gonna happen fast. Well, good deal. Well, we're here. Wanted to highlight some secondary schools. Last week we were talking elementary, kind of what it takes to get off the ground. July, August, September to get these things running. And so invited Chris in here to talk to us a little bit about secondary schools, middle school in particular, and what that looks like. But before we do that, Chris, wanted to talk just how you got in your seat, how you got to be principal, kind of what your journey in education has been like over the last, I don't want to date you, but you know.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
I don't know. Are you year 20?
No, not yet. This is 16. This is my second career, actually.
Okay.
Education's number two.
All right. Well, tell us about it. Tell us how you got here.
Well, you know, I started out right out of high school in fire and worked for the Oregon Department of Forestry I kind of overlapped with education because I did summer work after I started education, but fought fire for a few years, was in dispatch for about 15 years in dispatch because I was able to overlap when I was teaching. Started out teaching in Baker, actually. That was my first teaching gig. Funny thing is, my only education experience has been in middle school. So taught in middle school in Baker, taught Title I reading and math intervention for a year. That was interesting. The only kids that came to me were the ones that didn't like my class because they weren't doing well.
Yeah.
But taught me to be a little creative.
I bet.
After that, moved back over to LeGrand and taught sixth grade for a couple of years at the middle school and then slid into a math position for 6 years and then got an assistant principal position at the middle school between the middle school and Central Elementary and split buildings for a year.
I got my steps in that year.
It was a wild time. Mm-hmm. Like there was all kinds of stuff.
We were making up lots of different
Well, Central
positions.
Didn't have a principal or didn't have an assistant principal yet.
Right.
That was the first step towards that. Yeah.
Got a half-time assistant principal and then the half-time assistant. Second assistant principal over at the middle school, so it was me and Brett Jackman still at that time. And then the following year, was full-time assistant principal and athletic director, did that for a couple years before I took over from Mr. McKinney right in the middle of COVID and got my feet wet when the year we came back from COVID. And, in the fire world, they say, you have some seasons that you work about 5 years in 1 year, and I kind of think that season was kind of similar. My first year as principal, it was jump in the fire and figure it out.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that's about when I started too, and it was like no. Anyway, it was. I would agree with that statement.
But there was no sink or swim. It was just jump in and go.
You better swim.
Yep.
To that point, like how at some point. So when I visit with you guys and I say this is what I think we should do or this is we game plan, I sometimes might get a little bit grumpy or be like no I really think we should do this or I really think you're like Scott well but and I forget all of the things that have like educated my gut. Like I'll tell you, I don't remember the particulars of COVID except that it was a horrendous time of like abject frustration. Mm-hmm. Trying to make the best out of like really bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there were situations prior to COVID because I was already district office when COVID came. So how much of your leadership is like, I don't know, I don't even know what question I'm asking, but we forget all the things that make us sort of filter information, but it's there somewhere. And I feel like COVID or some of these other situations are part of that, like, this is how I'm getting to this decision really quick, even though I know that you want something different. Or like, we gotta work through this to find some compromise. How are you guys getting to a point in your leadership, your principalship, where you're starting to just like, I automatically feel a certain way, and like, you have to like, sort of figure that out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've had those. I mean, like you say, there's the gut or the instinct or something that people call it, but I think the gut or instinct is a product of a lot of experiences and successes and maybe a lot more failures than that. But stuff hits the plate and immediately there's the sinking feeling of there's everything that I've walked through and lived through and tried and experienced and experimented with that showed me that might go awry. that just might bite me later.
Spidey senses. Yeah, I found myself post-COVID almost like there's things like that, but I'm almost more in a stance of like nothing seems impossible now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now like people come with ideas or stuff. I'm like, I mean, we've already done crazier things. So I'm like, I think we could pull that off, you know, we've already like blown schedules sky high and changed models and done all this stuff. So I'm kind of in this mode now of like this, I feel like maybe a more quiet confidence and less paranoia or anxiety of like, oh man, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, have this be a COVID podcast, but like those days of just being like, can we even run? Can we even have?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we even have people, you know, with all these like crazy rules and stuff? Anyway, those days are gone, and it's really nice to wake up in the morning and go like, I know we can run school. I have no, like if someone calls in sick this year, I'm like, I'm good. Like we're going to be fine.
Experience certainly takes away the fear aspect of like, I'm going to find something new today that's going to like,
hurt me,
ruin my day, do something.
Yeah.
It's usually not that.
There's not much that right now I feel like someone could throw at me and it's just going to ruin my day.
But I love, Brett, that you shared like that ability to stay open to new ideas, new ways of doing that. That experience gives you an ability to do that. Because there's also this pull of like, been there, done that. Like, why are we trying this?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So. I know I want to cut Chris off, but like I'm definitely in this spot of like, I don't want to like crush hope or ideas or creativity.
Yeah.
Right. But we're going to definitely play in this like sandbox boundary.
Yeah.
You know, like this. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think more than anything, just to wrap it up, but I mean, kind of just to bounce off what you said is it built that flexibility and creativity muscle a lot. Mm-hmm. And like you said, not afraid to do anything at this point, and there's not a whole lot that gets me too wound up.
Yeah, I got you.
We've been there.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, speaking of getting wound up, you know, we're winding up for the school year. We're building all summer. Last week we talked what, you know, elementaries look like in the kickoff, but walk us through, Chris, what your, you know, July and August, like June, we're wrapping up, doing our data stuff, meetings, all that stuff. But what's a typical July and August look like for a middle school principal?
Well, I think July looks probably pretty similar to some of the other schools where we're trying to get all of our hiring done. And there's always a person or two. Fortunately, we've been fortunate in the last few years and not had a huge turnover or something like that. So we're not like scrambling or anything like that, but we've got a little bit of hiring to do. Beginning of the school year is a lot of planning for, you know, trying to create positive energy. How are we going to communicate our building goals, our academic and professional goals to our staff in a way that, you know, everybody can get on board and everybody can own. And then we do a thing at the middle school. We started this a few years ago. We call it Wildcat Academy. And there for a while, it was kind of kids would show up day one and it was like, welcome, pull out your books, here's your assignment, let's go. And it was like, whoo, no break in, no cut in here. And so we started to look at that and understand the reality. And as my wife's been an elementary teacher her whole life, and they spend the first the first two to three weeks doing nothing but teaching kids how to go to school and be at school and and learn at school and walk around the school and things like that. And we started to think at the middle school level, like, what are we doing? These kids are coming into a brand new school. They're coming into a brand new schedule. It's a whole new paradigm. And we're basically assuming that they know how to do everything. And we get upset and frustrated when they don't align to our expectations. And of all things, you know, we're teachers. We should be teaching this. So we designed kind of a start of the year curriculum that we run for 2 weeks in our advisory classes, where we're touring the school with our kids. We're talking about, you know, what it means to be a Wildcat, what we expect building wide. And it really ties back to the PBIS model of common expectations, just a feeling of safety around the school. So we tweak that every year, and we're leading the kids around doing that. We're getting our sports, you know, off the ground that time of the year as well. And there's always conflicts with schedules and trying to make sure we got kids going in the right directions with the right people taking them there. So that's another component of it.
This year you started sixth grade football.
Yes.
How'd that go? What was that?
That was about 50 more times of a lift than I expected when somebody came to me last year and was like, hey, do you guys want sixth grade football? And we're like, yeah, you know, we got sixth grade everything else. Sixth grade football sounds like a great idea. And then, you know, 5,000 hours later, we got sixth grade football, and the people involved have just made a huge lift. I mean, I can't tell you how involved in the care and love and support that went into that with everyone that's been involved to try to get that off the ground and off the feet. And like I said, it was a bigger plane to take off than I think any of us really originally expected. But we have played football now 2 weeks in a row with sixth grade and fifth grade, and we're playing teams that, you know, we didn't have on the schedule before, and away we go. It's looking good.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that a lot of folks don't know or don't understand, anytime you start a new program from scratch, whether it's always more work than you think. Like, I was part of a high school that started from scratch just as a teacher and a football program, and it was like monumental lift. Just everybody has to be bought in and like make it work. You can't just say it and just throw the ball out there.
When you build a new school, that principal's been there for at least a year,
ahead
just
of time.
Solo.
Yeah.
Just trying to set up stuff because it's that much work.
It's crazy. Cool. Well, and so talk to us maybe about like your schedule process. Yeah, I know you probably set that back in the springtime.
Yeah.
But how do you guys set your master schedule? Kind of what's your process? I know you got counselors working, admin team.
Yeah, we actually start having our meetings in March, February, March, about the schedule for the upcoming year, and we decide what our priorities are going to be. And we look at if we're going to add any new electives or any new classes. Some cool stuff that we've added at the middle school just in the last few years is we looked at adding some advanced classes. And so we've always had kind of an advanced opportunity in math with an algebra credit, a math credit. But in the last year, we've started adding advanced English classes, both for advanced 7th and advanced 8th. And with the advanced 8th grade class, it's also a high school credit potential with that. And so we've been excited to see that go, and it's fun to watch kids get to take off. And I almost feel like that's a selfish thing for us educators to be able to like nab these kids that are excited and going and just watch them go and give them what they need. And it's pretty cool to see that. But as far as the scheduling is concerned, we start there, you know, and get the classes that we want. And then we do take into consideration teacher desire as far as when they want their preps, things like that. We can't always accommodate everything, but we do our best. One way we try to navigate our schedule or design it is so that our seventh graders have the same advisory teacher, seventh and eighth grade, so that they can connect with the same person, and hopefully they connect with that person in their world, and it's kind of their homeroom throughout middle school. and they develop a better relationship there. So that's a priority for us. And
not to cut you off, but just as a parent of a seventh grader, I know that advisory's played a pretty cool role early on here.
Yeah.
Like coming home excited about the advisory teacher, you know, stuff going on in the first few weeks. And so I know it's been a good experience for, you know, my kid.
Yeah, yeah. And my three kids have gone through the middle school, and my youngest right now is an eighth grader, and that's really where they dial in. It's like you've got the academic side of school, of course, but it's hard to get kids bought in if there's not home at school, if there's not, you know, come in, this is what we're all here for. We love you, we support you, we care about you. Let's grow together. And that's kind of what the advisory is meant for, that first, and it's the first class of their day so that they can come in and kind of get regulated and situated and off for the world.
Yeah. Chris, you've had, I'll just say under your leadership for the last number of years, you've had some pretty high points in terms of, like, you created the Wildcat Academy, you've created at the other end of the spectrum, the On Track assembly and rewards that were wildly popular last year. You've implemented PBIS. You've helped. Without you, the Wildcat Center really doesn't come. I know there's a team, and I don't want to short sell that team, but you control that campus, and we're definitely a part of that. Sixth grade football, day to day, all the operations, hiring the different staff. I mean, for you, what are the, like, give us the one or two just high points. And it might not even be on that list, but the high point of being a leader there at the middle school.
You know, I mean, thank you for saying that, but you said it too. It's a team factor, and we've got an incredible team, not only at the middle school, but the support that comes from the district office and our administrative team around the school district. Like, it's hard. You can't lift anything off the ground by yourself. And so, you know, whether it's Chris Levitt and Jessica Frazier, the counselors that have been like lockstep with me the whole way, you know, or George, you and you, Scott, and helping along the way. It's just been a great team feel as we move forward. But for me, this year, the start of this year really felt like kind of a pinnacle for me. In a point, because every year you get to the beginning of the year and you feel like there's these bumps or these moments where you're like, oh geez, we got to fix that. We got a plan for that. This year it just felt smooth. Like everything was in place. You know, kids and staff knew what the expectations were. We walked into the building day one and it was streamlined. And that meant like kids were going where they needed to go. We had common expectations around with the staff. And so when you say, what are the big points? It's like, it's a culmination of a lot of little things that when put all together, you have a relatively smooth running machine. And so that's everybody on board with getting our Wildcat Academy going in right at the beginning of the year here, having our different assemblies and are another big thing that we've had a lot of success with is our PTO group, which is called PEP, Parent Engagement Program. We've got a big group now, and they're even doing subcommittees to champion different things in our school, and you know, I'm really proud of all the things that they've been doing with us and the involvement they've had. But you hit it too. Last year we did you know, it's kind of an end of the year eighth grade graduation, which we called eighth grade on track ceremony. And that was a huge success. And one thing we noticed was our eighth graders there towards the end of the year kind of give up because they're like, well, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, they feel like it doesn't count until they get to high school there towards the end. And it was like, you know what? We're going to make it count. Yeah. And do you want to walk across the stage? Have D's or above, and you'll get a medal, you'll get a certificate, you're going to you'll get on track. Mm-hmm. And we saw a lot bigger push there towards the end of the year from our eighth graders really making an effort, and it was a big deal. Not just for that, but it's cool to be able to recognize our kids that we've spent the last 3 years with, and we get to know them in just like elementary or high school. You know, they they're ours after 3 years, yeah. and we love them, and we want to celebrate them and send them off to yeah. the next step.
Yeah.
I think that you're like what you just, all the things you just talked about triggered a thought. And I think school leaders, and this is a, maybe a different tangent, do themselves a big disservice at times. Kind of the norm in the state, I think, is to bounce around a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And I think like the laundry list that you just went through of all the things that have been accomplished here in the last, you know, 5-6 years at the middle school kind of speaks to like just positive leadership, great teams, teamwork coming together yeah. to like make great things happen, mm-hmm, right, yeah. over time. And that doesn't happen with a whole bunch of change, you know, in leadership. Right. And, you know, you see that across the buildings at yeah. in LeGrand is like when there's consistent, you know, leadership and teacher retention and all of those things, like there's just like all this positive yeah. momentum. And so I just wanted to highlight that, you know, the middle school is doing a lot of great things and moving in a really, really positive direction because of the consistency and the team yeah. and like the teaching staff that's yeah. been there for years and the administration now has been there for years.
Yeah. And I love that you hit on the idea of, you know, as leaders, there's sometimes, you know, whether we call them stars or feathers in cap or major achievements, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like this new center or this new thing or this new whatever it is. But there's a power and there's just a personal satisfaction and pride about that the team can run.
Yeah.
And they know their role
yeah.
and they are mutually supportive and it feels smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And when it feels smooth, it's like I could step away and it would run. And there's an element of pride in that. That's the soup that you've created.
Yeah.
Right. And that both of those, you know, are important. And if we had to like have a paradigm where you're leaning to one side or not, it's like definitely that the ship is going through smooth water.
Yeah.
Versus big major events that like are, you know, this happened once.
Well, and if, you know, those, I mean, you hit on it briefly, but just seeing the Wildcat Center come up and what we've, the just the second and third order benefits that have come out of having that facility, it just continues to open up new opportunities for our kids and for our community. And it's, you know, we have these things that come up and it's only been around for a year now, and suddenly we go, well, we can do that with the Wildcat Center. That yeah. can work. We can work that in. And you know, it's just been really satisfying to see the other communities around us come into that center and get to experience it too, and watch our kids, you know, have a better and safer experience because of that.
Can't even describe the change from the annex to the Wildcat Center. It's just amazing.
Yeah. The annex was old 25 years ago when I played sports in it, you know, coming over here to LeGrand. So
yeah.
It's a total game changer for the yeah. community. Well, we're kind of getting close to on our time here, but I just wanted to say that, you know, there's a lot of positive things happening here. And I don't know, any like closing thoughts or messages? I don't even know. I have a good question to ask here at the end. But,
you know, I would just say, Chris, I didn't know before we started this, or I didn't remember, maybe that's a better way, that you were a sixth grade teacher.
Yeah.
That you were part of that team. Because I think we really started to engage with one another when you were in the math team.
Yeah.
As part of that. There's always some comments or things about middle school. Right? About that age, about that. And if I'm a parent of an elementary kid just starting to think about middle school, or next year they're going to be a sixth grader, or they're a sixth grader thinking about seventh and eighth, and, you know, what are particular things that you've picked up about middle school that makes middle school success and maybe not the experience that people describe, you know, outside, that there's bullying or there's hormones or adolescence or emerging, all this stuff, all this, and people should be afraid of middle school. Like, what's the other narrative about middle school and what draws you to that age group? Why is there such this powerful team at our middle school that's trying to help kids?
Do I have the rest of the day to talk?
Just give me your top one or two.
No, you're exactly right. Every time somebody says, "What do you do for a living?" and whether I say I'm a middle school teacher or I'm a middle school principal, they just look at me with sorrow, and they said, "God bless you," you know. And I said, "Well, you know, truly, He has. This is where I want to be." And for people that are nervous about it, that's just a common theme throughout our staff. That's where we want to be. We're there because we choose to be, because we love that age group. And so the first thing I would say is, don't be nervous. The people you're sending your kids to, not only are they professionals at this with middle school kids at that age, but they love kids at that age. And I could honestly get a little emotional about that, because I care so deeply for our kids and I watch our staff interact with them. But also know that part of that, just like as parents, I mean, pretty much everyone on our staff is a parent as well. Just like as parents, part of loving your kids is challenging them. Part of that is pushing them. Part of that is wanting the best for them. And there's going to be some frustration. And we fully recognize the hormones. We fully recognize everything that comes with that. We fully recognize they're going to experiment and push the boundaries. We're ready for that. We got a system set in place for that. And does that mean that they're not going to have bumps when they get here? No, they're going to have bumps, but we've got sidelines, and we keep them in between the lines and help prepare them for the next level, and that's our goal. And just know that it is all with care and love that we're there to support your kids. And whether it's the meanness or things that people hear about that come from that age group, some of that stuff does happen, but part of it's because all those kids at that time start to look outward a lot and go, I want to feel normal, and so I'm going to try to find everything weird about everyone else around me. And so a big key point for us at the middle school is always teaching kindness, mm-hmm. teaching acceptance. And maybe you don't have to accept everything that everybody else does or believes or likes, but we can live with other people and live in some level of a harmonious state.
The realization of community.
Yes.
Is what you're talking about. Like in elementary, it's really about like they're excited to play, but they don't understand community mm-hmm. yet, like what it means and what you have to sacrifice to have this understanding sort of functioning society.
Yeah.
And that's what I see at your school developing from sixth grade to eighth grade, is the realization of community, that people are going to be different, and how do I navigate that? How do I do that?
Great.
You got it.
Great thoughts. Well, from a middle school parent, thank you. My kid loves getting up, going there every day. So you guys are doing good work.
It's good to hear.
Appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all we've got for today. And we're going to sign out, and we'll see y'all next time. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.